read about that love manifested to us through our Lord Jesus Christ by this little book. The Grace of God by Brother McDonald. You can get it for 12 and 13 cents. And it's a very fine presentation of God's matchless grace. You know, there's an acrostic on grace. I've been looking through it, but I don't think our brother has it in his little booklet. G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. God intended to give us all that he has, but we have it as an inheritance. Christ died and willed everything to us and put that will into effect when he died on Calvary's cross. And it's all ours. Praise his name. Someone said to me, and I believe it, he said there isn't anything in all the world so little known as grace. We all naturally think that we could merit something, be worthy of something. But we who were worthy but to die now with him at the Father's cross. That's the gospel. Wonderful, isn't it? Amen. Now, I've always been interested in prophecy. I read it since I knew how to read anything. I listened to it when I didn't know how to read. And that used to thrill me when T.J. Loazzo came to Grand Rapids, A.E. Booth, and then A.C. Gabeline. You see, I'm well taught. And I want to tell you that what they taught in those days can be taught today. I have books on my bookshelf on prophecy that I was going to say you can have for a nickel apiece, but I wouldn't sell them for that. Would-be prophets had written on prophecy, and prophecy has been brought into discredit in so many people for that simple reason. I like a book like this. When this brother digs into the Word of God and takes out of the Word of God what God has put in there and doesn't put something into the Word of God that isn't there. And that's why you'll find this all in this verse, this scripture. It's one of the first books that I ever read on prophecy. And the signs of the times are a little out of date because there are some signs today that are far more vivid than those and more clear and more thrilling. But you won't make a mistake when you buy this. The book that our brother suggested is very fine, but by this time, they're still spending all you did. You haven't got the $7 or something, but I don't think I have because my wife went shopping yesterday. But this is only $1.75. I'm sorry if it's only in paper. A book like this should be bound and cloth for a place in your library. Now, I've been preaching. How little I practice what I preach, folks who know me know. The wife said to me yesterday, you think anybody practices what you and Brother McDonald have been preaching? You think you can find a Christian today who really obliterates self? Who really puts Christ first and foremost and and a little for others, unselfishly? I want to tell you there are. I thank God the richest inheritance that I have received. Now, inheritance is the wrong word, but anyhow, what I value more than anything else in my Christian experience is the children of God and the saints of God, the servants of God that I knew, and gone to heaven. Their lives have influenced me. book that meant a great deal to me was Hudson Taylor. Really the first time when I realized that a man could really live apart from this world altogether, with Christ's influencing his every word, his every deed, his entire life. But I didn't know Hudson Taylor. But I did know Harry Simpson. And I've lived with him. Or you say, you pronounced it wrong. I know I did, but he didn't like to pronounce it this way. St. John. They call him Simpson. You remember? Come to Greenwood Hills and what that road did? He had him in the home, and I tell you, that man practiced what he preached. I only took two of these loans from Grand Rapids, and one of them my sister says is sold, and this one I sold before I got up here. I'll tell you what you do, and don't tell the lady in this, will you? You send a postcard to Grand Rapids, Michigan. You get this, just for a postcard. That's all. But then when you get the book and like it, then you send us this little piece of paper with your name on the bottom. That's all. And you put in the corner of that piece of paper, 250, and so that we know it really means to, because you write it out too, won't you? Don't tell him I put in the plug for God's portfolio, will you? Of course, if you don't want to waste the postcard, just buy it from her. But I think she'd have to send, no, she can, let's see what she sent for it. No. Pickering in English. And then something, listen. There are some books in the book room written by my wife's husband. And she says she'd like to go to them because she doesn't want them in the car when they go back to Grand Rapids. Now, if you like my wife, you say to her, won't you? And just see that those books are out of there before I go back. She wants all the space possible for herself. And now, will you open your Bible, please, to Philippians chapter 3. And I want to read again the verse I read at the beginning of our study and the theme of our conference. Verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. Think of that. Now, there's something I would like to add to what I said concerning Brother Simpson and Saint John to heaven. When I taught in Emmaus Bible School, for some years I stayed with a brother in an apartment. He didn't have a wife. I don't think he has any in view as yet. But I want to say that that brother exemplifies what we've been teaching at Bristol. I'm going to tell you his name, but he does. He does. And I know. And don't come to me after this conference and after the meetings and say, Brother Paul, you've been aiming too high. God never tells us to do something that he won't enable us to do. It is possible for a child of God to live a selfless life, a Christ-filled life, a joyous life. It's possible. And so says Paul here, I'm an example of it. My life is filled with joy.
And I tell you why. Because I have only one purpose in life. And that is that Christ may be magnified and others blessed. And they're happy when you have that one purpose. Now in chapter 3, Paul begins with a word that I used to like. But it wasn't long before I didn't pay any attention to it. I didn't like meetings all the time. There was a time when I had to go to meetings. And I was always glad when the preacher said, finally, until I discovered it didn't mean a word of it. Now to wind up my message. Oh, what many does. He's only half through the epistle when he says, finally. But you know, there's a keynote to this epistle, and he said, before I wind up, I want to sound it again. And he keeps on sounding it, and I'm glad he did. The keynote to this epistle is what? Joy. Joy. Rejoicing. I don't quite know. Doesn't make much difference. But the first series I had in Greenwood was either Gideon or Philippians. Can't quite get that in. Can you remember? One of the two. That's the mean I was the leader then, the sermon. God is here. I remember a song I taught them. I don't teach it anymore because I was a poor teacher. I must have been teaching it. Got some of the notes a little below what they should be and others a little higher than what they should be. But I wish some musician here would put a tune to it. That was what do you call a song that you sing all the time? Huh? The theme. Yeah, the theme song. The conference. Joy, joy, joy. A song of joy I sing. Listen! And a message it will really bring. J stands for Jesus, and Y stands for you. O stands between them, and it stands for nothing. See? Let nothing come between whatever you do. Let nothing come between the Savior Jesus and you. How do you like it? Want me to sing it? I can see those feet empty. I took that to California when I was in Forest Grove, and Bill, not young, much his name, the Dutchman, he came to me and he said, you call that a song, too? Well, I said, I thought it was. He didn't like it, but I think that in keeping with the songs today, I heard over the radio some things I didn't know what to make of. It sounds to me like biting a straw and blowing a trumpet and rolling rock all at once. Anyhow, what's the secret of joy? Nothing between you and Christ. And of course, J-O-Y are the initials of chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Philippians. Chapter 1, Jesus. Chapter 2, others. Chapter 3, you. And you're out. Three and out. You play some baseball, right? Now in chapter 1, it's joy in the place where I am. In chapter 2, it's joy with the people I'm with. A little harder. Well, that's right.
chapter 3, it's joy, the kind of person I am. Chapter 4, it's joy with the problems I have. Well, I've got so many problems, doesn't matter. Take them to the Lord. You need to repeat that now. Some of you are writing. I know you can't write fast, but I can talk and make you no shorthand. Chapter 1. Joy in the place where I am. Where was the apostle? In prison. And there are two things about that prison I'm going to suggest. It was an unwanted path that led to it. Paul never, never would have led himself into that prison. Have you ever found yourself where you never would have been if you had exercised your own will? But where you are is exactly where God wants you. And you'll be happy where you are. I know so many people who are missing the blessing they can have because they're looking for something they haven't got. You might wish you were in California, but just enjoy this. That's where you are. I think it's just delightful. And that's not only true of today, that's true in every way. Paul might say, why don't the saints pray for me? The saints of Peter and he got out of prison. What's the matter with these Roman Christians? He might have said that, but he didn't say that. He just looked round in that prison and said, I'm as happy can be. Well, don't sit me. And then, joy among the people I'm with. Did you know that I belong to the Greek Age? Have you ever heard of that? Have you heard of it? You belong to it? You don't belong to it. I do. I do. Don't we, brother? You belong to it. The best people on earth, Greek Age. Huh? Isn't that right? I made a statement one time in Van Halen, and there was a sister sitting way back, and I said to me, she got hold of me and said, I don't believe it. I said, I'd rather be with the worst of God's children than the best of the devil's child. And I know she had told me before, young saved friends, I got their luck. Nicer than the people that go without the help. So I knew I couldn't have no honesty. There isn't a child of God that doesn't love my Savior. And there isn't an unsaved person whose hand isn't stained with his blood. I know folks think I go to this thing, but deny that if you dare. Deny it if you dare. There's no neutrality. The world took Christ on the cross. God put him on the throne. And you're either with the world that put him on the cross or you're with the crowd that says, glory to Jesus. Now, I don't care what fine distinctions you make. That's absolutely true. You take sides either with the world or you take sides with God. And those who take sides with God are my brethren and sisters, and I love them. And you can be happy. And you said that you could be happy among the people you're with, let you say. Let you say. You know that's wonderful about a Christian. You know it? I don't know whether it was in Detroit. It may have been. There's a Belle Isle in Detroit. Anybody ever hear about that? But I don't think it was that because the trip was a rather lengthy one. But it just so happened in a large island, they were having two affairs. One was a picnic, Sunday school picnic, and the Christians went there. The other was something of the lions and the elk or the moose or something like that. Some animal. And they had their affair. And there was one fellow who was a little late, and he got on the wrong boat. And it so happened that, you know, the tickets were given out. And when the Christian came, the place was there, so he got on the other boat. And here was a Christian along with me, and here was an unsaved man who was the Christian. And you know, that unsaved fellow was like, Mr. Bill, he really was. When he got back to the car, he said, oh, did I have a terrible time. And the Christian got back, he said, I have a delightful time. Happy were the people on this spot because he was able to testify for his blessed Savior. That's why. I don't know, I told this story, but anyhow. Isn't it right? You can be happy wherever you are if you say for to me to live in Christ. Now, Lynette, the kind of person I am. You know, I think self gives more trouble than anything else, don't you? Can you be happy being the person you are? Yes. But you'll do two things. Forgetting the past. Passing on to the future. So what kind of a person are you? Well, what do you mean? You want the dark side of it? I'll tell you. I hated Jesus of Nazareth. I was a bigoted Jew. I persecuted the church of God. Can you be happy doing that? Oh, yes, because God brought it out. Paul, what are you? A graduate of the Major University. Chief among the Pharisees. The fairest flower that ever bloomed. In Israel's garden. But that flower withered into nothingness in the sunlight of the man in the glory. Saul's born. And Christ for me, Christ for me. And I'm forgetting all that's behind me, and I'm pressing on. I'm going to have him by and by, but I want all of him on the way. And you can be happy being the person that you are. How many of you agree with me? Is that right, my brother? It is. I can be happy in the place I am. I can be happy with the person I'm associated with. I can be happy being the person I am. And we do four C's in this part. Fourth, I can be happy with the problems I have. Have you any problems? How many of you have no problems whatsoever? There's one. Well, tell us, I haven't got any problems. I can't believe you, my brother. You don't know what it is. If you haven't any problem how he's got to go back home again, but come back. But that's chapter 4. You know what you do with all your problems? Be anxious for nothing but in everything. What to do? Oh, we all have anxieties and worries and things that distress us and upset us. At least, I don't think you're much different than I am. But what can you do with them? Take them to the Lord. Take them to the Lord. And then a little talk with Jesus. How it makes things. I leave it all with Jesus, for he knows. How did you take the bitter sunlight with? How did you deal the teardrop with his smile? Make the desert garden bloom on. And takes away the anxiety and fills your soul with joy. I'm never going to learn. That's my introduction. That's a sentence from the sermon. I don't care. You know what somebody said to me? I think it was last night. He said, I like your introduction better than the sermon.
little introduction is that they'll just come to center or something I wrote out beforehand and intended to do. But sometimes I get in trouble with my introductions because I say too much. And now, what's the sermon? Simply this, that Paul was a model Christian, and I want to give you four reasons for it that you have in this chapter. First of all, a Christian is happy, verses 1 to 3. A Christian is happy. And you have a sense of joy in this section. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in circumstances. Rejoice in spiritual attainment. Rejoice if you're a servant of God in many converts. Rejoice in green pastures. Why don't you say something? You all believe that? Huh? Green pastures are desert. Thousands of souls are laboring like a dear man from Holland, Michigan, among the Hamilton, 30 years without one convert. Plugged along, such as Raymond. Rejoice. And they came to the Lord, oh, they were so happy in what they had done. The Lord said, don't rejoice in that, rejoice in what I've done. Your name's written up in heaven. Rejoice in that. You know, nothing can take your joy away if it's in the Lord. No. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. He's the source of our joy. Then a Christian counts all things lost for Christ. Verses 4 to 9. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. I don't think there's one of you here that hasn't sung that. Right? Why could you sing it? Because he's the only one worthwhile. What is there outside of Christ? There's no peace, no joy, no blessing. All that I want is Jesus. He satisfies. Joy, he supplies. Life would be worthless without him. All things in Jesus I find. A Christian is one who finds all things in Christ and counts all loss. But who cares if you give up the hut for the bounties of the Father's heart? Third, a Christian has a goal in life. Verses 10 to 19. And the Christian life is likened to a race. And at the end of the race is the prize. He says, I press on. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now it's a high calling, but it's better, the calling from on high. Abraham had a goal. In the darkness of Chaldean idolatry, he heard a voice and he saw a sight. That was a television. The Lord of glory manifested himself to Abraham and he said, goodbye, for some good. And there was a goal and a pathway that led to it. And there is this calling from on high. Have you heard his voice? Have you seen his face? Is yours a captured heart? There's Christ in heaven. He saved you by his precious blood he bought you. You belong to him and he belongs to you. I'll never forget. During the time World War II. Was it number two? Two. And that church got heaven. He went to Gulfport. Marion Downey there. to get together. And the little fellow there, I say, little, he was, I don't know how he got in, he was 17, and I, he was 18, I think. And he'd gone to Wigan Bryan School, but he wanted to go out to the South Pacific. They're going to be shipped out the next day, and I looked at him, my heart bled for him. Thought that boy should be home, shouldn't be out in this wicked world. I knew what army life was, I know what you have to face, I know the iniquity that abounds. First couple of days I was in the army, I couldn't sleep. The foul language, the blasphemous talk. Iniquity just let go without license. I thought, oh, poor fellow. Someone went to the piano and struck up a song. He was a fellow from Sudbury. And he played, and this boy sang. And I never heard anything like that up. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time, my Lord, but for eternity. I had a tear in my eye when I went to that boy, put my hand on my shoulder, and he said, and said, go, lad, and the Lord be with you. That's all you need. That's all you need. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. How much do you enjoy? All his divine fullness is yours. All that he is, all that he has, he's yours. Blessed be his name. And now to enjoy more of him along the way. For a Christian has a hope in life. Verses 20, 21. We're living in heaven now. We're going to heaven too. You know that. Man is picked up for a ride. He's coming his way. Was in the country, and it was a sort of a wagon he had. So he said, there's a seat back there, and sit there. And this brother thought he'd do a little gospel work, so he said to the man, going to heaven? Live there. So, well, that's it. So I said, then he said, well, you know, my friend, you must have misunderstood me. I said, are you going to heaven? I said, well, look at it. So I asked again, he got the same answer. He said, I told you, I live there. I'm just here on business for my master. That's my hope. Isn't that good? Somebody caught me with that out there. Where is he? He didn't touch me second time though. He said, what are you learning? Well, I said, Daniel, I thought you didn't have me. That's because my wife. Huh? Got mad at me. It's true though. Your citizenship is in heaven. We forget it though, as our brother's been telling us. What do you want for your children, a career? What do you want for them to be the best accountant in the United States? What do you want for them? God, he didn't have children. But what he said is true, even though Benjamin, no, it wasn't. What's John Henry Newton's brother? Remember? Francis Newman? Newman. Francis Newman. He said, I couldn't go along with him in that. He said, if I had children, and if they had a great stone in London, that I'd meet them in glory, that would be all right. I'd rather that. And they'd be the king on the throne and rule the British Empire. How many agree with him? Ah, the greatest thing in life is to know that you're bound for heaven. And enjoying heaven on the earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're living in heaven now. the Savior from heaven too. Once also we look for the Savior. Now mind, you're not looking for Antichrist. Not looking for the tribulation. You're not even looking for the signs, but you can't help seeing them when they come along. But you're not looking for them. What are you looking for? The Savior. Thought you found it. So you did. Well, what salvation do you need? Well, some of you got arthritis. You can call it rheumatism. Some of you got appendicitis. You can call it some of it. Some of you got You know what I mean. What needs to be saved? These bodies are ours. We're looking for the Savior, and something tremendous is going to happen. I don't know how many doctors we have in the United States. They've been fixing up these old bodies of ours, and the undertaker gets to find a job. Well, that's a fact. I'm quoting A.C. Gravelein. He says we had allopath, chiropath, neuropath, osteopath, and a whole lot of paths, and they're all paths to the day. But the one who died on the cross to save my soul, he's coming again to save these bodies. And in a moment of time, in less than a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye, every born again Christian will be transformed into his likeness. And to Paul, that's the beginning of the work. What? The work of the new creation begins in these bodies of ours. He'll give these bodies vile a fashion like his own. He'll make the whole creation smile and hush its groan. Hallelujah, what a Savior. My, won't this universe be wonderful when it shines in the light of the man in the glory? And every vestige of darkness will have been banished forever into eternal night. Aren't you glad you're saved? Have you got right to be happy? Amen. A Savior from heaven, seen in body, fit for heaven. And then a glorious prospect, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Christ the center. Everything in harmony with the throne. Everything delightful. Oh, sir. Why should his people here be sad? None have such reasons to be glad as those redeemed by blood. God granted, indeed, that made it true of all of us. This is my story. This is my song.